Good evening. Glad to see everybody tonight. You know, about a decade ago, I got started in ministry, and I remember back when I got started, my mentor, Sonny Owens, gave me a really good piece of advice one time, and I've tried to remember it ever since. He said, "John, look, people are going to come up to you, and they're going to ask you to be ready to come and speak for them. They're going to say, 'John, we need a preacher this Sunday. Could you come over here and do this for us?' You're going to get calls, and people are going to come up to you and say, 'John, I need you to do this funeral for me.' Or they're going to say, 'John, we'd like you to do our wedding.' And John, what I want to tell you right now is that when somebody comes up to you and asks you any of those questions, if you can, if you know, circumstances permit, you don't have other commitments that you need to attend to, tell them yes." And I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized a few years later what Sonny was trying to teach me. And that was that one of the number one reasons that many of my fellow students, when I was at Heritage, would tell people no, or I've told people no in the past, is all those things are scary. It is scary to get up in front of people and to talk to them. It is scary to do that on Sunday mornings when I'm trying to handle the Word of God wisely. And it's scary to do that at a funeral or at a wedding because those are important moments and they matter. And Sonny was trying to teach me that even when things are scary, it's good to be brave and to try. You got to work that courage up over time. And I've thought about that for years. You know, I've told people no on several occasions. The circumstances didn't permit. I just wasn't able to. But I've tried to always keep that lesson in mind that, like, don't say no to something just because it scares you. You know, if you have other responsibilities, that's okay. But if it's something that you can do for another person, don't let just fear be the thing that stops you. And I thought about that tonight as we're continuing our lessons in the book of Exodus, and we're going to chapter 4 in Exodus, if you want to turn over there tonight. Because very much, I think this is a good example of this need to be brave and to give it your best shot when you can. I thought about Sonny when I was reading through this passage and thought about how Moses must have felt in this moment. And I honestly think Moses was quite brave, as it turns out. But in Exodus 3, we've seen Moses express two concerns about his calling. God's been talking to Moses from this burning bush, and he tells him to go to Egypt and to the people of Israel in Egypt who are in slavery and talk to them. Tell them God's going to bring them out. And Moses' first concern that he brings up to God is, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God's response is very simple. Well, it's okay, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses' second concern is that he doesn't know what name to tell the people of Israel when he comes to them. God answers, very simple. I am who I am. The eternal nature of God means He's always with us. He sees what's happening to us and is always able to save His people. God is with you and no one can overthrow God's plan. And that's what God's trying to communicate to Moses is, it's okay when you go. They're going to listen to you because you're not going alone. I have sent you. I am with you. But Moses has a few more concerns, and he wants to ask God about those because he's very nervous about this whole endeavor. And that's really what we get into in Exodus chapter 4. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 9 and kind of hear God and Moses' exchange, their conversation. It says, "But then Moses answered, 'Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they'll say, well, the Lord didn't appear to you.'" This is a really reasonable concern of Moses. You know, you're telling me to go in and tell them that you appeared to me. They're just going to say, no, he didn't. Are you crazy? "And the Lord said, 'What is that in your hand?' And Moses said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' And so he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it." Now, I need to stop there for a moment because there are moments in the Bible where the Bible says this really simple sentence, but the mental image that it conjures is just amazing. And I just love the mental image of Moses saying, "Oh God, I don't know if people are going to listen to me." "Okay, Moses, what you got in your hand?" "I got a staff." "Throw it on the ground." "Okay." Throws it on the ground. Turns into a snake. Moses runs away. You know, I can just imagine Moses screaming at God, "Stop it, it's a snake, get it away. I'm sorry, I'll go. But just throws it on the ground, runs away. And then God says, put out your hand, catch it by the tail. And so he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. And that they may believe that the Lord, God of the fathers, has the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And then, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and he took it out, and behold, it was leprous, like snow. And God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. And when he put his hand back inside his cloak, and he took it out, behold, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. And he says, if they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. And if they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So Moses declares to the Lord that the people of Israel, they ain't going to listen to him. They ain't going to believe him. This story sounds crazy. They're going to say the Lord didn't appear to him. Now, recall that just a moment ago, God had already told Moses that the people of Israel are going to listen to him. It says in verse 18 of chapter 3, they will listen to your voice. You and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt. That's what's going to happen, Moses. God's already said the people were going to listen, but I want you to look at the patience and love of God through this exchange, because God's already told Moses this is going to work out, but Moses still says, but God, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to listen. And God says, okay. Throw the staff on the ground, throws into a snake, or it turns into a snake. Moses runs away from it. He picks it back up by the tail. It turns into a staff again. This is the first sign that Moses is given that the people of Israel will believe that God has sent him. But this wasn't it. God's like, all right, Moses is nervous about this. We'll give him one sign. Tell you what, Moses, here's the second one. You know, if you don't think they're going to believe you, you can turn your staff into a snake. You can turn your hand leprous. The second sign, put your hand inside your cloak, bring it out, it's leprous. Put your hand back inside your cloak, bring it out, it's clean, it's restored. And then yet again, God says, but if they still don't believe you, if that's what your fear is, Moses, they're not going to take you seriously. If they still don't believe you, here, I'll give you three signs. Take some water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, and it will turn into blood on the dry ground. The Lord gives Moses these three amazing signs just to give Moses confidence for the task to go to the people of Israel. And by doing this, God answers Moses' concern. And I want us to think about how often we might use that excuse as to why we think we shouldn't try to teach others the gospel, or why we get afraid to do some of the things the Bible tells us to do. We think that people aren't going to take us seriously, or they aren't going to believe this, or maybe we won't do a good job anyway. And yet, I think something we see here with Moses is that fear is not a reason to ignore what God's asked us to do. If God goes with us, we don't have anything to be afraid of necessarily. I think back to the most common command in the Bible is fear not. He wants us to proclaim the message to people even if they aren't going to listen. Think about how many times God told his servants that they're going to go and preach to the people and they aren't going to listen. This was true of Noah, for only his family entered the ark even though he was a preacher of righteousness. God told Jeremiah that the people would fight against him when he preached. And when he commissioned Isaiah, listen to what he said to him in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 through 12. It says, and he said, go and say this to the people. Keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, like, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie in waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes the people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Even with Isaiah, whose ministry was doomed to failure, it does not work out for Isaiah. The people don't listen. God still wanted him to be extending the hand, even if he knew nobody was going to take it. He still wanted them to be telling them about God, even if he knew none of them were going to listen. Even when Jesus preached, the perfect teacher, people didn't listen to him. They rejected him very often. We can't let that fear of rejection stop us from expressing the good news we know about God. The people we talk to might disagree. They might even reject us. But as long as we are sharing the truth in love, they're not rejecting us, but they're rejecting God. Just because people will not listen to us does not mean we are excused from the task of sharing the gospel with them. In verses 10 through 12 of chapter 4, going on a little bit further, it says, "But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither in the past or since you've spoken to me. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said, Who's made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Here we get another one of them, a second complaint. He says that he's unable to speak well, and in fact, Moses says that he's never been able to speak well. "I'm slow of speech and tongue." Who has read about Moses in the scriptures and thought, that's Moses' problem? He's a terrible speaker. Yeah, I think that's really interesting. That's what he says. But Moses says some amazing things. The whole book of Deuteronomy is literally just a speech from Moses. That's how it begins and ends. Moses is just talking to the people. He's an eloquent man. But it seems like this is something he struggled with. He says, "I'm not a good speaker. How can I possibly proclaim God's message to the people of Israel and to the Pharaoh of Egypt?" But listen to God's response. God tells him, "Who's made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I? Go, and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to speak." God made you, Moses. God made us. And what are we saying about God when we say that we can't go and speak for Him, that we can't go and tell people about Him? We're saying that God did a bad job in making us. In God's assembly line of human beings, that we must have been a mistake. But God's the one who made us, and He made us for a purpose so that we could serve Him. We can't use human frailty as an argument against the calling God's given us. You know, it's silly for the clay to tell the potter how it was made. God knows our abilities and our limitations, and He doesn't send us into some ministry we're just incapable of. He's put us in so many different opportunities, all these people in our lives, and it doesn't matter if we're old or young or male or female or what conditions our bodies are in, there's no excuse to use what set of abilities we have and opportunities we have, whatever those might be, to serve God and to try and spread the gospel as we can. It's not just preaching and preachers. It's not just being up in front of people. In my experience, the best way to spread the gospel, and this is one of those things we learned in school, when we learned about church growth. How do churches grow? You know, that's the miracle question people always want to ask you when you're preachers. How do you make the church big and successful and great? You know what the answer is? It's like super simple. People in the church tell people they love about the church and about Jesus. And those people give the church a chance, come in and say, "You're right." And then they stay. Ministry, evangelism, bringing people into the church. Sometimes it's like what Paul did, where you go into all the world and you go to different places and you spread the gospel. But very often, successful growth in the church is what we like to call organic growth. It means somebody I know, before I became a Christian, before I was part of this church, somebody I know, somebody I've been around for a long time that I have a relationship with, I brought them to church with me, and now they're part of this church. And those are the relationships that stay. You know, ministry is not about, evangelism is not about what the preacher does on Sunday, but it's about what we do as a group together as we grow our relationships and we bring people to God. Every one of our relationships is an opportunity God's put in our life to help people grow closer to Him. You know, and you're not going to be able to convert every single person or force every person to believe in God. That's not really what it's about. But each one of our relationships is an opportunity to bring somebody closer to God. You know, just telling them that you love them is one way you're serving God in that relationship. Gets on a little further in this discussion in verse 13 through 17. It says, "But He said, Oh my Lord, please send someone else." such an honest thought. I love it. You know, I don't blame him one bit. What an honest expression. I can't imagine coming face to face, as it were, you know, face to burning bush with God and be talking to God, and God be saying, all right, this is what I want you to do. This is the mission. This is the goal. And going, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do that. Well, you can do that. You got this. Are you sure? Yeah, you got this. Okay. Can you send someone else instead? You know, we've gone through the reasonable excuses, and we've gotten down to, okay, God, the real truth is I'm just scared. Please don't make me do this. It's such a human, honest, relatable feeling. But notice the response here. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Well, behold, he's coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. And he shall speak for you to the people. He shall be your mouth and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you will do the signs. Moses said, oh Lord, please don't send me. Send somebody else. And don't you feel that sometimes with the opportunities that God puts in your life, with the opportunities to speak to somebody you love or care about, when it's hard, when it's scary? God, I know I should do this, but can you send somebody else? It's tough. And I think it's really understandable. We want a break. We don't want to do this. There are others who are better cut out for this. But how does God respond to Moses here? You notice every one of these excuses Moses has given so far, God has responded with, okay, sure. You know, here, I want to build you up. I want to strengthen you. I want to encourage you, Moses. We got this. You know, we got signs. We got miracles. You're going to do fine. Till Moses says, God, I just don't want to. Send someone else. And that is the only time in this exchange where it says, and God's anger was kindled at Moses. Moses had said he wasn't worthy of the task. He said that he didn't know what to tell the people about God. He said that the people wouldn't listen to him. He said that he wasn't eloquent in speaking, but now he just says, send somebody else. God's not angry at the other concerns he's presented, and we can have concerns about how we're doing or what we're doing. We can have concerns that the people won't listen to us if we talk to them. We can have concerns about the work given to us in life, the different opportunities we have. Some of those are hard. We can see all of our limitations. But I think a lesson we learned from Moses, one thing we can't do is we can't tell God, God, I just don't want to. It's too hard. I just give up. Send somebody else. God has not asked us to succeed. He has not asked us to be perfect. He has taken away just about every barrier to get to heaven and to get to Him and to have a relationship. He's made things very simple through Jesus. He'll take whatever our best is. But He does require us to do our best. That is His one desire, His one goal, is He wants us to try. We can't tell God to send somebody else. And yet, how often is that the temptation? How often that we think that we've got good excuses, so we don't need to do that. We don't got to take care of that. How often do we think someone else would be better at the task? And maybe we shouldn't be the one to do it. I mean, I'll tell you all the truth. And this is just an honest statement. I've had more than a couple times in my life where I've been driving down the road and I got to a stop sign and I saw somebody sitting there with a bucket looking for some help. And I've had extra money in my pocket and I've had the time to stop and talk to him. I've had all the opportunity. And I just kind of ducked my head down and drove it off. I'm not proud of that. That's a flaw on my part. That's something I got to ask God for forgiveness with, because I know that's not really what displaying love for my neighbor is. But I tell you that because I think we all do that sometimes. I think it's a temptation. I think it's one of the ways the devil gets us. I think it's an easy thing to do. And I read about Moses here, and it encourages me not to choose the easy way, but to try harder, to reach out in faith and do something that scares me or makes me uncomfortable, that maybe is just hard. And I want you to see something amazing about God. You know, I'm talking about how bad it is to make this excuse and how we just can't do that and how it's this terrible thing. And Like I said, we all do this sometimes. I don't want you to sit here thinking, man, I'm a terrible Christian who's never done anything good. Because you know what's great about God? Is God did not look at Moses and go, fine, I'm done with you. I'll go call somebody else. God says, okay, Moses. Even though God is angry. I love that it tells us God is angry at this point. But God doesn't respond to Moses with anger or rejection. God just says, okay, even though you've been like this, I'm going to help you. God's going to speak to Moses, and Aaron can do the speaking to the people. And both of them will go together. Aaron will be God's mouth, Moses' mouth, just as Moses will be God's mouth. God tells us we have to serve him. If we want to be his people, that's part of our job. We have to serve him. We have to tell people about him. We have to do these things. We're responsible for this. But I think something beautiful we learn about Moses' story and something beautiful we see all through the church is we don't have to do any of those things alone. That we do them with God, but also very often we do them together. If it's hard for me to know how to do this, if I'm afraid about this opportunity that I've got to do something for God, I can talk to one of y'all and ask you to come with me. I can talk to one of y'all and ask you for advice. I can call you and tell you I need somebody to talk to. Here's the point I want us to consider. God has an answer to all of our excuses and reasons to not do what we know we should. Everything that we think is a reason why we can't serve in a certain aspect or do a certain task in the kingdom of God. God's got a reason in this book for why that excuse just doesn't work. Which one of us is given a pass from the command to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel? God knows you and he chose you for that work. I like what Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Why? We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Every single one of us was created to do good things for God. That's something we're capable of because that's why we exist. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you are to shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, Paul says in Philippians 2:14-16. This is why we're here. We're here to be lights shining in this world of darkness, in this crooked and twisted generation. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his workmanship. We're his masterpiece, is how that word is actually said in Greek. That's a better translation than workmanship. We are to walk worthy of the calling to which we've been called. We have a mission, and we can't forget that God's put us in that mission. We're here with a purpose, and the purpose is not just to be happy and healthy, but our purpose is to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into light, as Peter puts it. We don't have an excuse for not working for the Lord because God has overcome our excuses. Christ was tempted in all ways and sinned not. Jesus had every opportunity to give up and didn't. And he's asking us to try to be the same way. We can do the mission given to us when we see that it's not about us. You notice that every answer God gives directs Moses' attention away from himself and to the Lord. Moses' responses are all, "But God, I don't know about me. I'm a problem. I don't know if I can do this. I'm so imperfect." And God's responses to all of these are, "Well, that's okay, Moses, because I'm going with you and I'm not imperfect. I'm going with you and this is going to work out. It's already in my plan. If I'm with you, you're unstoppable." Moses says they're not going to listen to them, and God says he's going to give them these miracles so they will listen to God. Moses says that he can't speak well, and God's response is, "Well, I'll just be with your mouth and teach you what you're going to say." Moses didn't want to worry about, or didn't have to worry about what he was going to say because God was going to help him. Moses says that he can't do it, so send someone else. And God's response is that God will be with him, he'll be with his mouth, he's given him the staff to do the signs. Back in chapter 3, these two concerns of Moses are answered by God saying simply that he is with him. God's name is I Am. And what that means is that if he is, then I can serve him. He says, I am with you no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. If I've told you to do it, then do it. And I'll be with you as you do it. The mission that God's given us is not about who we are as people. It's not about our strength. It's not about our abilities or our weaknesses. It's not about us at all. It's only about that power of God. And God puts absolutely no pressure on us regarding results, which is one of the most interesting things to me in the Bible. You know, one of the things I'm encouraged to understand based on reading Scripture myself is that the Word of God works. It's powerful. It does its own thing. If you put it out there, it never returns empty. If you plant the seed, God gives the growth. But if the Word of God does all those things, then that means none of the expectation is on me, that I'm perfectly eloquent or that I do it all right. That's not really what matters. God places no pressure on us regarding results. We do that ourselves. We tend to evaluate in earthly ways. We look at the numbers and we look at, see, if did people respond the way I hoped that they would? But God's definition of success is that you tried. That you opened your mouth and you told them about Jesus. The results come from the power of God's Word. The results are the works of God. It's not about our talent or abilities. And I think it's so easy to get caught up in that fear that I'm not good enough, so it's not going to work. I'm not good enough, so I can't teach anyone about God. God wants us to go and to teach, not because we're good, but because He's with us. You're perfect for the task that God has given you because God is with you in it. I don't know what your needs are tonight. I don't know what you're struggling with. But I want you to know that if you're part of God's people, He's with you. And if you're not part of God's people, we want you to be part of them. If you have a need tonight, whatever it might be, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.